Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, Zweli.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Ah, fantastic, man. Are you good?
All well. And you?
Ah, great, man. Great, great. Great to hear from you. Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, yes, most definitely. It's funny, we never hear complaints from you.
Ah.
You're superhuman.
Yeah. No complaints at all. Hey, Zweli, you know we're going to be talking about a rather concerning subject, the graduate unemployment, which is a huge problem in our region. And of course, we want to talk about solutions as well. I'm concerning trends that have emerged in South Africa and, of course, in the Southern Africa in general. In recent years, more and more people are finding it difficult to secure, employment after graduating. I mean, recent data indicates that South Africa's startling high graduate jobless rate is actually still present, in fact, also increasing. Now, there is a reasonable expectation, Zweli, is that once one graduates from university or college, a technicon or University of Technology, as we know it today, one should just find a job, get into the marketplace and start making a living. Now, what's causing such a high unemployment rate among qualified graduates?
So, the unemployment rate is a concern, although there is a bit of grace that we can give this new quarter because it has dropped by approximately 2.3%. However, for many of us, that doesn't mean much because there's more than 100,000 of us who are unemployed and who have graduated and expect to find work after graduating. One of the major things is a skills mismatch.
Okay.
Now, most people think that is when we have a shortage of skills in comparison to the requirements, but it can also mean that our skills are in excess of the requirements.
Oh, okay.
So one of the reasons that could be happening is because universities might not be teaching the exact skills that employers are looking for or need right now. Remember, we live in a fast-changing world, so things like technology and our needs change very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason is our lack of work experience. You always hear that how do they expect us to have 2 to 3 years of work experience, whereas employers are really looking for people who are job ready. And then of course we have our economical factors, which could be our slow economic growth or lack of job creation and even competition amongst the graduates. And then lastly, I just want to touch on the fact that not all of us have the equal access to the same quality of education. So some people might be more prepared because they've gone to a more expensive, more up-to-date kind of university, where then others a lack because of that. And then one interesting thing is that our location also matters. You'll find that when we speak of this high unemployment rate, most of the focus might be in an area such as Eastern Cape, where there's a high lack of resources and job creation.
Well, I think it makes sense what you're saying, because I think it was a week ago or two when I was reading about doctors who were qualified doctors who are unemployed and were picketing around government offices to say that they need employment. But they are based in Mpumalanga, I think quite hundreds of them, picketing there and demanding that government should create spaces for them. And this, I mean, to be a doctor is quite a prestigious qualification, because you're taking care of lives. And yet, I mean, back in the day, you would not find a doctor unemployed.
Yeah, it's quite a sad reality. I mean, even looking at the exciting number of matriculants who have passed, it's sad to think how many of them will actually have space in universities to even pursue, their studies to, try and get a job. So really, we're in a country where there's a lot of lack, where we were operating from a place of lack. However, I believe in our conversation, we'll discuss ways to curtail these disadvantages.
Now, earlier when you were mentioning some of these issues, you talked about the lack of work experience. When one applies for a job and you know employers do want to get some kind of a sense that you've done this before. Now, how can graduates navigate the fact that they need a job in order to get the experience, but they also need the experience in order to get the job? It looks like it's a catch-22. What then?
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. However, there are opportunities, you know. I can say even when I was in matric, I didn't know about things like learnerships, apprenticeships, entrepreneurship programs, or other opportunities. I thought they were for the clever people, and it has nothing to do with me. But we're lucky to have this discussion today to, you know, discuss things like CETA. So CETA is a big one because they are Sector Education and Training Authority.
Yeah.
So there's multiple kinds of CETAs where they focus on, you know, this development of skills.
Mm.
We also have something called the National Artisan Development Support Center.
Right.
Another government initiative, as well as an artisan recognition of prior learning. Qualification that can be pursued. So when I mention these apprenticeships, most of the time what they require sometimes is even a grade 9 or your grade 12, or some come in with their Technicon certificates or qualifications like their N2s to N6 and so forth. And then in the entrepreneurship programs, it's more to do with development. So once you start a business or planning a business, you have even access to resources where they can help you with your business plan development and give you access to funding through institutions like the Small Enterprise Development Agency, that's SEDA. They actually have an asset assist grant funding that they are doing currently, which ends on the 22nd of January. So if you would all like to hop onto that, I mean, it's an amount up to 250,000, and it's available for even startups. Mm. And then you have the National Youth Development Agency, which is something that I was a part of. They helped me, you know, develop my business plan as well. They also connected me with the Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, where I got funding to receive marketing material. And then you have your graduate programs from, you know, these big companies like your Alexander Forbes, your Old Mutual, your Investec. So really it's about, you know, going online, doing your research. We have so many tools in front of us. And yes, this is not the only solution, but, you know, there is help available as long as, you know, we don't stay discouraged and, you know, we find ways to stay active and hopeful during times like this.
Yeah. Now, it's actually an exciting thing that you're saying that there is a solution and people can actually get experience. And I do know that President Ramaphosa of South Africa also announced, I think, about a year or two ago that especially in government will no longer be strict on the work experience element, so that young people can gain some experiences as they probably some of them will be coming in at a junior position, so that they can actually learn on the job. Now, that's part of the solutions, yes. But what kind of industries then should young people be looking into as they enter into tertiary studies in order to make them more hireable, in order to make them more job ready, as it were? I mean, we do have metrics now. I was saying earlier that we've got 800,000, over 800,000, or just about 800,000 matriculants who have actually passed. But we've looked at the stats at universities. They only accommodate, just about 135,000 people, that's all of them combined, which means that there's a huge number of those who are not even able to get to university. Now, it actually then begs a question that needs to be answered. What is it that young people can actually look into? Because I'm sure that there are courses that may not be even fully subscribed that young people can get into, so that they can actually be able to get swiftly into the job market as they complete their studies.
Yes, lovely question. So one thing we need to do is, if you're based in South Africa, you need to look at the specific needs. So address these skills shortages. Mm. So where somebody may be lacking in their skills, you may find that you fit quite well. That. So especially in those rural areas, engineering and infrastructure, as well as information technology, come at often a high demand in the location you might be based in. So it's really about looking around as to see what is the need in your immediate area and consider what are the scarce skills, you know, and think local, guys. Just look around, you look at the economic needs. We know that entrepreneurship is also a big one for us. So consider studying things like business management, finance, or marketing. Tourism, I mean, we had another speaker who joined us last year to tell us about the opportunity in the US to go and gain hospitality work experience. So degrees like tourism management, hospitality, or event management are things that can open doors in the sector. And then if you'd like to have, you know, that stable salary in government, consider degrees like public administration, social work, or development studies, which can then lead to those fulfilling careers in government or the NGOs.
Are those not saturated, though, Yuzweli?
It really depends on you know, what is being supplied at the moment. You know, this year there might only be 20,000 jobs available. Next year it might be 50,000 jobs available. So it's really about the market trends, you know, at that time that you're trying to pursue. However, if you know how to go about what you're doing and you've researched things and you've already tried to find ways to, you know, put yourself out there, such as perhaps job shadowing somebody in the industry, this increases your chances. So everything I'm saying is not a given that it's going to help you get the job, but it does help you, you know, in your pursuit of the career that you'd like to develop in.
Right. Now, what about the possibility then of, you know, creating one's own opportunities? I mean, entrepreneurship. Could that be an option? And this is what I'm advocating actually for these days, because if you don't have the space at the table, then create your own table.
Most definitely, most definitely. This is something I've done for myself, you know, and to be an entrepreneur doesn't even mean that that needs to be your only source of income. You can have your day-to-day job and have a side hustle. So I'm speaking to those who don't have anything to do, and I'm speaking to those who might find that what they have is not enough. So with regards to entrepreneurship and the business that you're trying to pursue, again, I say look at the specific needs. And then with regards to that, remember there are skills that we develop that are future-proof, meaning that over time they won't be replaced by anything else, which is critical thinking and problem-solving, communication and collaboration, digital literacy, and technological adaptability. These are things and skills that will stay with you forever and allow you to adapt to the job market, no matter what crash is coming, no matter how many jobs are given out, no matter how many stimulus packages are given out or not. And then, of course, we have those entrepreneurship programs that are there to assist, you know, and business and its training and skills can come from anywhere. It doesn't have to come from your big five universities. It can come from vocational training, which is, you know, your artisan trades and your technical skills or your vocational training programs. You know, people who prefer to be more hands-on can develop different skills that are very necessary than those in a very corporate workspace, let me call it.
Yeah. Quite important, actually. And I must say that very important, because this time could be a very stressful time for young people. I mean, these are people in their early 20s, 21, 22, 23, thereabout, and could be very stressful. And some of them could be even overwhelmed by stress that they decide, no, man, this is not worth it. So but please, a word of encouragement to the young people who are sitting there with certificates, degrees, and nowhere to go.
Okay, so one thing I want to emphasize is lifelong learning is key. You need to continuously develop yourself and your skills. This will help you remain competitive and embrace change and be open to new opportunities. There's no help chasing these big numbers of salaries when you know you're really struggling to get work. Find ways to work yourself up. You know, it's really a journey that we have to go through. Utilize career services like Career Moves, like the ones available at your universities. You know, some of these things you don't even have to pay for, guys. It's a matter of finding them. You have resources online from the Department of Higher Education and Training. There they'll show you information on critical skills, bursaries, and even career guidance. You have the Universities of South Africa website that also assists you with resources, and then, of course, those career portals. So I want everybody to stay faithful, have hope, and trust yourself, trust your abilities, trust what you've gone through. I remember for myself, there was a time where I'd question my work and then just sit back and think that, no, man, but I studied this, I worked hard for this, and so I will achieve in this, no matter how long it takes. So time is just a factor, guys, and for as long as we're alive, we can use it to our advantage.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Zweli. I don't know if you would say my experience, just very briefly. When I finished, of course, I had studied for one course, and I ended up getting a job in a completely different, you know, environment, completely different sector, and that I had no knowledge about. And they took me, and I started, and went on. Do you think that because I know that young people today, if they have studied as an electrical engineer, they would want nothing else but to be an electrical engineer, or maybe if one is studied architecture, they would just want to be an architect. And I noticed that many of them would not like that view. They would rather want to stick to what they studied. But I, from where I sit, I'm thinking anything that comes up for a start. And then while you're in the job market, you are able then to look for something else. I got into the job in a different industry, completely no knowledge about. But hey, at some point, it may take a bit longer now because you're in a different industry, but you will get there. Perhaps your journey is not even in what you studied. But what's your view there?
Yes. So this is why you really need to focus on the skills. Guys, let's forget about the title. What's important is what you're learning, the type of work you're being exposed to. Because when you do things like job shadowing and volunteering your services to work in different places, you gain experience and knowledge that fits in many broad categories. I mean, for instance, myself as a psychometrist, nobody said that I should start opening a business and start talking on radio or start training interns. I have even just now interns that have come in from a sociology background with an honors, you know, and they were very discouraged, you know, but they found work because what I focused on as an employer was their skills and what we need for the work at hand, which is so irrelevant for the title. I mean, we could call it anything, but what's important is the value that you're providing to the organization, and can you do your work? Of course, within ethical guidelines.
Beautiful. I think it's a fantastic conversation, and thank you so much, Zweli. I think we could also be able to open other avenues within this very conversations. But I think this is the time that we had for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you to you and your listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Have a good one, man.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.